Hi, this is Danielle from The Jaws Curator. Thanks for downloading Art for Your Ear. This is episode 14, and it's supported by Saatchi Art, the world's largest curated online gallery offering original art by independent artists from around the world. Today I'm talking to Rachel Ryle, who happens to be a very talented, self-taught artist with a capital A, who took Instagram by storm about 2 years ago, and as a result, has a completely new life. Seriously, it's a crazy story. We met at Alt Summit in June, and she literally has the craziest, most inspiring story, and I just had to share it with you. A bunch of her work is up on my site, thejawscurator.com, right now, if you want to see what we're talking about as we're talking about it. Ready? Yep, me too.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I'm so sorry.
No, that is totally fine.
You know those weeks that just don't work out for you? This is one of those weeks.
Yes, I have those weeks a lot.
Okay.
I totally get it.
Is this okay sound, or is it echoey, or is my mic okay?
Yeah, it sounds awesome. Are you really in a closet?
Girl, I'm in my closet, and it's bad. It's a mess in here, but I'm doing it. This is actually where I record, like, all my audio for my animations anyway, so I'm used to working in here, which is sad.
Oh, really? Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I am.
Where the action is.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it hot in there?
Yeah, it is, but it's my punishment for sleeping in.
Well, considering you're up till 4 in the morning working on a project, it's okay to sleep in.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm glad I got it done. And it's funny when you're in the zone of working on something, it's okay. I just, I'm not complaining. It was a good project. But my sister's wedding was this last weekend, and my family was in town until Wednesday, and it just set me back completely.
Yeah.
Couldn't get caught up, but thank God it's Friday, and that's that.
And then you're done.
Yes, and well, I have an edit to make actually, but overall, I'm done with it. I just did like a partnership with Kind, where people.
Oh, I saw your little latest one, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So they chose 6 winners that submitted photos of their summers, and then I illustrated them into art.
Oh.
For the winners, which was a lot of fun just to do 6 different drawings, you know, but I'm such a perfectionist that I just took so much time to like put care and love into each one. So anyway, that's why it took so long.
And that's why you do what you do.
Yeah.
That's why your work is just so good.
Thank you. How are you doing before we get to the nitty gritty?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not in a closet, but I'm in a weird little pillow fort that I make.
Okay. We do it how we do it, girl.
I know, it's so ghetto. The first time that I set it all up, and I used to just record in my office, but it's so echoey in here. Yeah. And the first podcast, somebody said, it sounds like you're in a cave.
Oh, no.
And so I was like, oh, man, I don't know how to do this, you know? So I said to my husband, I really want to set up like a pillow fort.
Yeah.
So we did. And then I Instagrammed it, and he's like, don't show people this. I'm like, no, it's hilarious. I have to show people.
Yeah, that's the charm of it.
Well, you do what you do, right? So I'm covered in a fitted sheet surrounded by pillows.
I love it. It's like a fort call. This is amazing.
And I know it is. It's like we could have like a club meeting.
Yeah.
And you have coffee, right?
Yeah, my best friend is actually a voice actress, and she started doing it for fun and taught herself how to edit her voice and la la la, but she records in her closet, and honest to God, her story is so ridiculous. She has grown her business to be like the voice of United in-flight air, and Yahoo hires her, and Facebook, like all these big ass brands are hiring her, and she's like in her freaking closet doing it all. I'm like, God, that's so inspiring.
Well, that sounds awfully familiar.
Yeah.
That kind of sounds exactly like your story. Is this how you meet your friends? Only people that hang out in their closet and are self-taught.
Yeah.
That's the people that's that we let into this club.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm a self-taught curator, and I'm not in a closet, but I am in a fort. So can I be in your club?
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. I have a lot of questions for you. Well, I know the answers to a lot of them because I was lucky enough to be on the keynote panel with you at ALT in June at ALT Summit, and I got to hear your crazy, crazy story. I'm so glad you went after me, because if you went before me, I'd be like, I don't know, I don't have a story like that. I'd have to make a whole bunch of stuff up.
Your story is just as inspiring.
But it was such a good story. And so as you're talking, I'm like, I have to get her for the podcast. Yeah. And because it's just such a crazy and inspiring story. And so we have to tell everybody.
Yeah.
So first, you didn't go to school for art.
No, yeah, I have no formal education in illustration or animation. And it's kind of interesting just looking back at the last couple years. I think before all this started, I didn't proudly call myself an artist, just because I always looked at my art kind of being as, it's like quirky and childish, and I looked at it as being like unpolished. But when all this started taking off, I think it was the first time that I recognized that my art was being appreciated for the whimsy of it, and that's kind of when I started calling myself an artist and developed into what I'm doing now.
That's so cool. So how, okay, so 2 years ago, almost exactly, right?
Yeah, in July of 2013.
And so what was your job at the time? What were you doing at the time?
So I was a marketing director for a toy company, and it had a lot of creative elements of it, but it was much more content heavy as far as writing and, you know, social presence, and not so much on the art side. So I definitely had kind of was growing the chops of the marketing side and the creative side, but the artsy side of me wasn't being fully utilized in that role.
And so your first piece was actually titled Make Something.
Mm-hmm.
And so why did you make something?
So yeah, kind of to that note of like in that job, not necessarily doing artistic things, I found myself really wanting to make something. And I would come home at night and, right before I started doing this, I was just almost like desperately finding things to create. And kind of like a side note, I started illustrating pictures for friends, and I made a quick and quirky little children's book for a family friend of mine who their dog recently passed away. And so I thought it would be like a nice notion to create a story about the dog's life for the kids and, let them remember him that way. So, I found myself coming home at night and doing those kind of projects, like these really thought out things, but that started to become like my happy space, of being able to come home and create. And I think that I know that I've always just been a big believer in the power of making, and, you know, really good things come when you make something and when you take time to create and put your art out in the world. So that was the inspiration for my first piece. I really wanted to create something that spread that message and that also encouraged my friends to do the same.
And so why did you decide Instagram was the, like, you know, stop motion animation on Instagram was the route for this?
Yeah. Instagram came out with their video feature. And as soon as it came out, I was really excited, but also confused by it, because I didn't see people using it in an artistic way. And I viewed Instagram as like my, like, creative escape almost. Like, and I felt like everyone would take these photos that may have not been so great, but then took the time to make the filter nice and pick the right frame and put so much care and attention. And so seeing that the video came out and people weren't treating it the same way was kind of like, well, that's a bummer. Like, I don't want to see bar videos. I want to see like how people can use this in a creative way as well. And so, really within the first week that it came out, I just thought, you know, how can I use this in a creative way? And when I first went into this, I didn't even know that I was going to animate. I didn't know how to animate. I just set out on the mission to, draw something and kind of film it being drawn. But as that, as I started to do it, it kind of evolved quickly into, well, I wonder if I drew something, if I could give it motion. And that's kind of how I made my first animation, was this wonder of, like, what could I make with this portion of the Instagram app?
And did you love it? Were you just like, oh, here we go?
Yeah, I wasn't very proud of that first one at all. I enjoyed it, but I did not at all assume that it would get the, you know, kind of the praise that it did, and that my friends would be so supportive. And I think that also ties back to my original insecurity of not really calling myself an artist, or not really bringing too much attention to what I would draw. And even looking back, you know, it's not a Pixar animation by any means, but you kind of can tell that I didn't have very much confidence in my art at that time, because I think it really has grown over the last 2 years and that into a style that is really something I'm confident in and proud of.
And are you comfortable using the A word now? Like, you comfortably describe yourself as an artist?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I am an amazing, awesome artist. I use all the A's. Just kidding. I don't. I'm not
that cocky. Okay, I have some other questions. So quickly, did you love, like, stop motion? Did you love that when you were a kid? Like, all those old Christmas movies of Rudolph and stuff? Like, have you always sort of had a fascination about that? Or was this just because this is what the Instagram video thing let you do?
Yeah, I didn't really like animation, only because I didn't know the difference, honestly. Like, mm-hmm. if I watched a movie, I would never pick up on how it was made necessarily. So it hasn't been an art form that I've always been intrigued by, until there was like a music video. And I forget, I think it's called, like, Her Morning Elegance. Mm. Oh, my gosh. Like, and it probably came out, like, 5 years ago. And it was one of those music videos of, like, how did they make that? What's happening? You know, like, this girl's floating around and on her bed, and all these cool things are, like, happening. And it was so creative. And so I think that that was really my first time of recognizing, like, holy crap. I don't know if I can say the other word.
You can say whatever words you want. Yeah.
Okay. Holy shoot. that I think that the beauty of stop motion is that it really allows for this, like, trick of the eye or magic element to it. And so, yeah, that was my first time really enjoying the art of stop motion. And, you know, even now I think that I'm still diving into it and understanding it and learning it. And with every animation, it's kind of like this, what trick can I make happen with this piece?
That's so cool. And so when you put that first one up, your Instagram account was just like a normal person's Instagram account for your friends and, you know, your photos of your life and whatever. And so how many followers did you have at that stage?
I think when I first started, I think I had like 350 friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my average likes, I was so lucky if I got like 11 likes. If I got into like the double digits,
that was a good day.
Such a good day.
And now, 2 years in, you just had your 2 year anniversary about a month ago, and you are about to crack 500,000.
Yay.
Is crazy. Let's use all the A words.
Yay.
Awesome, amazing. I don't know. I can't think of any more.
I know.
Artist. And so, was it that first one that went crazy?
You know, that first one got like 58 likes, and I thought that was pretty crazy. I'm like, what? I didn't even know like 58 of my friends liked me, let alone like my art. So it was, you know, that number, even though, you know, it's still a really big number, really is what motivated me to like create more, because, you know, often putting your art out in the world is the intimidating. It's an intimidating thing, and oh, you don't know if people are going to like it, or you don't know if, you know, it's going to get a good reaction. But when you do and you get something like that back, it's insane how much it drives you to want to create more, or, you know, put more art out there.
And yeah. And Instagram is perfect for that, I find. I've been, you know, yapping and telling people, share your work, blah.
Yeah.
And then share my own? No.
Oh, yeah.
So I, you know, I always feel like people come to my Jealous Curator Instagram to see the art that I'm writing about that day. So I feel weird posting my own. But at the same time, I just finished my new book, and there's a whole chapter about sharing your work. And I thought, like, God, I can't be a giant hypocrite. So I was like, I have to start actually sharing it. So I started by sharing snippets, like a corner of the collage or whatever.
Yeah.
And then now I'm actually showing finished pieces, and it's so interesting because, yeah, I just put one up. I probably usually get around 300 to 600 likes on pieces of other people's work.
Yeah.
And I put one of my finished collages up, and it got over 1,000 likes.
Girl.
I know. And so that was like, oh, okay. Right? And I mean, I was really proud of it. Otherwise, I tell people also, don't feel like you need to share everything, because you do not. Like, when you're ready to share, and when it's a piece that you really are proud of and you do want to genuinely share, that's when you put them up. And so that was one of those pieces. And then I got over 1,000 likes, and I was like, suddenly I just wanted to run back to my studio and keep working for the, you know, it's a really nice motivator. And so I guess you were having the same thing.
Yeah, totally. And I just feel like that's such a beautiful thing about life, that, like, it's crazy that we all have this in us, this thing called creativity, and we all use it in different ways. And as soon as you do, and it's recognized, it's just, there's no feeling like it of empowerment and excitement to create more. It's like you're utilizing a muscle that gets stronger and stronger every time you engage with it. And I just think it's a cool human nature thing that we support that in each other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Well, this is exactly why I wanted to have you on, because, I mean, you have such a crazy story. And, you know, it just goes to show that if you are coming home from your day job that you may or may not, like, love, you know, you might like it, but you might be having this urge to be creative in another way, go for it. And, you know, really do what you want to be doing, because your life can change, because your life has changed.
Yeah.
So you did that first one, and then how did the giant boulder start rolling down the hill?
It was, you know, it was shortly thereafter, probably about 4 weeks in. I was really coming home every single night from my job, getting home at like 6 p.m. and starting to animate and figure out my next piece, and staying up till 4 a.m. every single night for weeks. And I was busting out about 3 animations a week, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it's a lot, especially when you're, you know, pulling a fort and you know, like, building stuff around you to make it possible to animate in your house. And
well, and I'm gonna put a whole bunch up on my site, and I'll link to your Instagram so that people can see exactly what we're talking about and see all of the detail that goes into every little piece.
Yeah, thank you. And so with that, you know, about 4 weeks in, I had made maybe 12 animations, I think. And every single time I would post, the likes would grow, and the sharing would continue to grow. And around 3 to 4 weeks, I was, you know, featured by some major publications like Huffington Post and BuzzFeed, and as well as invited on a talk show in California. And that was kind of a surreal moment to be interviewed as an animator. And I'm like, I guess I'm an animator. Like,
4 weeks in.
4 weeks in. Oh, and that was, it was just like this, I think I didn't realize it was going to lead to what it has, but I was just holding myself kind of in confidence so very early on, of like accepting that people were viewing me as that. And I think that's just like the life change for me, to be confident in being an artist and being okay, like, owning that and proud of it. And not that I wouldn't be, but.
And so people that have interviewed you, like that first TV show, were they stunned that you didn't have an art background, or did they even ask you? Did they just assume that?
Yeah, they didn't ask. They like they were just like, how'd you make the latte foam, you know? And so, yeah, I don't think actually, it wasn't until recently that I actually started talking about, I think alt was the first time that I mentioned that I have no education in illustration or animation. And so, yeah, I think that, I don't know what I think. it wasn't ever something that I realized. Now that I've seen where it has, what has it has become, do I really recognize that, like, this, I can't believe I've grown this with no background in knowing how to do any of this, you know?
No, you grew it with passion.
Yeah.
And hard work.
Completely. Yeah. A lot of late nights. But, yeah.
And tendonitis in your arm.
Oh, my God.
Well, we won't go there. That's a painful topic. But yeah. So who was the first brand that reached out to you to get you to actually create something for them?
That's a good question. I think that, you know, to your point of, like, when did it go viral, around that, like, 6-week mark is when Instagram did a blog post on me, and that was the same week that Huffington Post and BuzzFeed featured me, and so it was just this, like, all attention to my site kind of thing, and so definitely at that point, brands really started cluing in.
What did your followers jump from when that week hit?
Yeah, so I went from, in 7 weeks from when I made my very first animation, when I had, you know, 350 followers, 7 weeks later, I had over 80,000 followers.
Oh, my God.
I know, it was crazy, especially because I kept my notifications on my phone. Then I had to turn them off. I'm like, this is enough. Like, it dies so quickly. But, yeah, so... what was the last question? I'm sorry.
I don't know. I'm all too excited too. So I asked what your numbers jumped to in that week. And then, so who, when brands started reaching out?
A real quick side story to that. When all, and I'll get to the point of the brand. when all the traction started happening, you know, I instantly knew that I had to capitalize on the opportunity of all the exposure.
Yeah. So, what with your marketing background?
Yeah, I was like, girl.
Yeah, girl, we got to move on this.
So I quickly made a website and uploaded all my art and my contact information, mainly if publications wanted to get a hold of me, but also if any brands wanted to work with me. And I also was, I'm really proud of myself for this. I was strategic in starting to post on my stream, kind of like, okay, there was a week that I was really strategic in that I made an animation for a brand of a company that I love called Threadless. And, you know, I talked with them. I'm like, I have an idea for an animation and it would highlight your shirts. And so it looked very much like it potentially looked like a paid job where that I was highlighting their work.
But you just took it upon yourself to make it.
Mm-hmm. But I just wrote them. I'm like, I'm a fangirl and I love you guys. So, I created that piece. And 2 days later, I announced that I opened, like, my website. And so you see, like, a Threadless post. And then you see that I have kind of, like, a destination to get a hold of me kind of thing. And then...
So the next, smart.
Yeah, and then the next animation I made was a beer animation. And it was called, like, 5 o'clock happy hour or something. And the purpose of the animation was that I drew, like, a tap. And on it, I very clearly represented 3 of the local breweries that are in my area. Because Colorado is known for our beer. Mm-hmm. And so I made this animation. And of the 3 beers that were highlighted in the animation, I selected one to pour my beer and, like, choose that beer. But I secretly was hoping that the other 2 brands would see the animation and be like, oh, why didn't she choose our beer? Or could she make this animation and choose our beer? And so I made the animation. I hashtagged it with all of the same hashtags that all 3 of those beer companies used in their posts so that it would get back to them. Mm-hmm. And 2 days later, I got an email from the top beer company that I wanted to work with of those three brands. And they were like, hey, we saw your animation. We'd love to work with you. Like, do you do custom work? And so I feel like,
oh my gosh.
Then going back to my stream and seeing like, A, the beer post, B, that I did another branded one for Threadless, and that I have contact information available like right there. I think that my little plan worked.
I hope everyone is taking notes right now. So smart.
After that exposure, then the first brand that contacted me that I signed with was Volkswagen. And in that same probably 2 weeks of launching my, after all that exposure happened where I was featured on the blog post of Instagram and Huffington Post and BuzzFeed, I just fully decided to trust my gut and take the opportunity to like really make something of this and grow. And so I quit my day job only 8 weeks after I made my first animation and opened an animation agency. And that really allowed me to be able to take all the emails that were coming in and actually consider them and have time to create stuff for different clients. So Volkswagen was the first client that I signed with, as well as Adidas, and then Free People and Rag & Bone, which was an amazing partnership. I love Rag & Bone. And then Gwyneth Paltrow with Goop reached out as well. And that was all within like the first 2 weeks of launching my business. So
I'll bleep that, but like, holy like, well, this is what, when I listened to you talk at all, because you were so sweet. We were talking before we went up and I've done a little bit of talking and I just assumed you had too, given your bio. And so you were like, oh, are you nervous? And I said, yeah, are you? And you're like, yeah, I've never done this before. And I was like, what? And you're like, yeah, no, I've never talked. And then you went up and you were nervous, but your story was, so, and you just, like, the story just kept building. And you kept telling, and then Volkswagen. And then Gwyneth Paltrow. And you're like, what is happening? Like, this is the most crazy. Like, 8 weeks in and you quit your day job. Like,
crazy.
It's the best story. Okay, go on.
But yeah, I still feel that same way. You know, I'm still amazed that I get to call this my job and thankful that like whatever happened in me that flipped the confidence switch, like I think I'm just so grateful that I was able to take on these projects and work with the brands that I have. And
do you think that's your marketing background, because you kind of knew that world?
Yeah, and what's really interesting is being in marketing, you know, it's so important to have a connection of what you're marketing. Yeah. And I've clearly had amazing jobs that I was passionate about the projects, but they were never so personal that it just felt natural. You know, like this feels completely natural to be able to, I love that I can provide for brands, you know, something that I'm creating out of my little head and heart. Like I love that. In my closet.
And is your closet, you're in Colorado right now, but is your closet moving to New York?
Oh yeah. So I got an art studio set up in Brooklyn and, you know, a lot of my clients are out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I found myself over the last 2 years really going out there a good amount. And, I just decided to bite the bullet and really try to pursue more of a lifestyle out there. So I think I'm going to be splitting my time, being there for about 6 months out of the year, which is awesome.
So cool.
Yeah. Really excited.
Can you tell the story? I took a little pause there so that I can edit this out if you don't want to tell the story, but can you tell the story about the, business card on the ground?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
I forgot. Did I tell that story?
No, not in your talk. But we were talking outside one of the parties at Alt, and you were telling this story, and it was just like another one of those what stories. So yeah. You have to tell that too.
Yeah. So in Brooklyn, I was walking around, and
was this before? Had you moved there yet?
Yeah. So this was this last spring. I was walking around and I passed over a business card that was on the ground. It was completely like stepped on and trashed, but I kept on walking, and I was like five steps past it, and I stopped. I'm like, wait, what did that business card say? And I turned back around, and I like picked it up, and sure enough, it said Fast Company, like Inc. on it. I'm like, oh, that's a good business card. I like flip it around, and sure enough, it's like a direct email for the person that I would be, like, it would be the perfect connection for me to have, someone who runs, you know, a lot of the digital and like is in tune with internet of what's going on. So I took it and put it in my purse. And, later that day I went to a coffee shop and drafted up an email and just, emailed this gentleman. And the title of my email was, "I saw you on the street." And my email was like, "Hey, you know, it's really great to meet you. My name's Rachel. I was walking through Brooklyn, and I came across your business card." I'm like, and by came across, I mean, I stepped on it because clearly someone dropped it, and I picked it up. So I'm sorry that they are missing their connection with you, but I would love to talk with you and see if there's anything that we could do together or work together or tell you my story. I'd love to connect. And I heard back from him like an hour later, and he's like, "This is great." He's like, "I feel bad for the person who dropped it, but let's talk about how we can work together." So it's just one of those New York minute moments where you really have to just be opportunistic, you know? And like, why? Like, that's the thing about this day and age. I feel like people are so, you know, welcoming of random emails like that.
People are so much more accessible than they used to be.
Yeah, and it's completely okay and accepted. And you have to imagine, I think with every time I've approached someone in that kind of light or in that kind of way, it's that, you know, part of their job is to find opportunities and find people to connect with. And so, like, not to look at it as a burden to them, but potential opportunity for them.
You're making their job easier if you're providing content.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I was really happy that I turned back around and picked that one up.
You have gumption.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So everybody out there now is going to pick up every business card come across on the ground. Right? It's just so amazing. And so what are you doing now? Like, what's... Are you just letting the universe, you know, guide you, and you're just doing your thing like you've always done? Have you got an agent now? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's kind of been an interesting season in that I kind of feel like I'm in the teenage years of my business, in that I'm growing up into, you know, the next stage of what I'm going to be doing. And, I have projects booked into May of 2016 right now.
Wow.
I am excited about kind of like the projects that are ahead, but I think right now, like, where my heart is I'm really excited about, you know, what I'm personally creating, and meaning like for my stream, and, you know, kind of how I can push the envelope and the content that I'm sharing, and in ways that I can grow what I'm building, like what I'm doing. So I think a lot of that may end up kind of gearing towards like bigger screen opportunities so that I can create longer pieces. And then I'm also playing around with the idea of writing a book, either a children's book or kind of a book about how this has all gone down, and just to inspire people to share their creativity as well.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, I've definitely got some pots stirring, but I'm just waiting for my creativity to kind of hone in on one and make it happen.
Well, I have no doubt that you will be able to figure out how to do that.
Thank you.
And so are you doing all this on your own? Like, you don't have an agent doing all this stuff, or do you, like, you're doing it on your own, right?
Yeah, I'm doing it all on my own. And, it's been definitely a whirlwind, but it's just, the more I've done, the prouder I become of what I'm doing. And the more, just in tune I am with what, what this is and what I'm building it to be. And so, you know, with that, there have definitely been moments where I've been intimidated. I've worked with almost 30 brands now. And, like, there have definitely been moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what am I doing? Especially when it comes to the negotiation part and, you know.
That's a part that, you know, so that's why I was asking, because so many artists have trouble with that.
Yeah.
You know, asking for money for their art. And so are you, how are you knowing what, like, don't tell us what you charge, but like, how are you
$5.
$5 are the highest bidder. How are you deciding that? And do you find that stressful, or are you kind of getting in the groove with it?
Yeah, I definitely have had stress around that, but, I think especially in the last 6 months to probably a year, I've really, started to grow an understanding for my worth. And not saying that I deserve so much money, but like, I feel what I'm creating is just joy. Like, I what is the price tag of creating, you know, these little pockets of my, you know, creations to be shared. And, so it has been kind of a challenging thing to determine, but I'm really happy with that. I've stuck with my gut on it and continue to, like, I don't know, like, grow up in that, in my worth of what I'm creating.
And that seems to be like a theme with you, like, you know, trust your gut.
Yeah.
Because that's what you've done all this way, and it's worked.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really important. I mean, it's stressful. I mean, my gut hurts. My gut's like, stop putting this all on me. Like, we have ulcers down here. Like, stop.
Pour a little latte on that.
Yeah. I know, exactly. But, you know, looking back, in the very beginning, when any brand would write me, it was like, you want to pay me? What? Yeah, I'll do it. And I just started saying yes almost immediately to everything. And I quickly, probably a month in, was like, all right, like, I actually need to value what I'm doing and what I'm providing and my time. And I think it was probably about a year ago that it actually clicked with me that I'm also a brand.
Right.
And I need to treat myself with the same kind of respect and protectiveness that any other brand would. You know, McDonald's isn't going to make an ad for Ross Stores.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So really, like, the opportunities that I take now really are in line with, you know, where I'm at. And truly, you know, I want to create pieces that don't feel like advertisements, that feel natural and feel that excite people just the same as any of my other animations would.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, with that, I think that's been a really important click that, you know, this moment, I'm not an advertiser, so to speak, but I'm building up something that, this is like the chapter that I'm in, which happens to be, you know, the way that I make money is creating custom content for brands. But I don't think that that's like the end goal. Like, eventually I want Rachel Ryle or, I don't know why I just said myself, but I want like the animation.
Because that's the name of your brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want the animations to go somewhere and to be bigger in some kind of way. So.
Yeah. Movie credits opening.
Yeah, that's like my big, I think a music video would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked about some TV commercial opportunities, and I actually have talked about some movie opportunities as well. So I think that I'm going the right direction. I'm trusting that my little gut will come back and tell me which way to go.
I think it will.
Yeah, I hope so.
That was just the best.
Yay.
Thank you so much for doing this, because I know you were a little hesitant.
Oh.
You know, it's so hard to get artists to come on a art podcast.
Yeah. I never knew if people could see, like, if it's such a visual thing anyways, but since you're uploading stuff, I think it will help.
Yeah, that's the one thing that usually bugs me about podcasts is because I'm such a visual person, if they're talking about something, I want to immediately see it.
Yeah.
And so what I do is with every podcast, I also put up a post on my site and I just put everything that we talked about in the order that we talked about it and awesome. A player right on my site. So you can just listen to it there and look at everything that we are talking about so that you can kind of have the experience, you know, and if you happen to be listening while you're grocery shopping, then you can, you know, pop home and look later. But yeah, I need to see the stuff and, you know, your stuff. And, you know, I mean, all of the artists that I write about, but like, you can't really explain these stop motion, you know, like you need to see them. Yeah. So I will put them up on my site so everybody can see. And of course, link to you because God knows you need some extra Instagram followers.
Oh my gosh, I really do.
You really do. That, right now it says 499K. Do you know how close you are to 500?
Yeah, it's so funny like how I watch that number, especially right now, because I just really would love to get to 500,000. So I think I'm at 499,324.
Okay, so close. So,
I know, and my next animation, which I think I'll post this Wednesday if I make it in time, is going to be like a back-to-school snack, like cookies and milk
kind of animation. Cute.
So I'm thinking that will get me some, I'm thinking people will like that. So well,
that will be up, and then a few days later, this will go live.
Awesome.
Yeah. Perfect. So I'll be able to grab that one and pop it on there too.
Yay.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I know that you have a cold and that your arm is hurting and that you're in a closet and so, and that your sister just got married and that you're probably really tired. So I appreciate so much that you would do this with me.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that you would invite me on your podcast. I'm excited to hear it. Yeah. I hope I don't sound too whatever.
No, you've got your little raspy thing going. Yep. It's all good. And I hope everybody, I mean, I don't even have to hope. I know my readers and listeners are just going to be like crazy inspired by your story. And I'm just so glad that I was, you know, I got to share it.
Yeah. And I hope I see you again soon. You're lovely.
Oh, you too. Yeah. Well, I'm coming to New York sometime soon. And I come quite often. So hopefully next time I'm there, I've never been to Brooklyn.
Girl.
I know.
Business card
trolling for business cards in Brooklyn. I'm in.
Awesome.
I will call you when I'm there and we'll go wander.
Okay, perfect.
That sounds great. Okay, well, thank you so much and get out of your hot closet and I will talk to you soon.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Hey.